And those ideas and impulses are impossible to separate from the fascist moment in Western civilization. According to Harold Ickes, FDR's Interior Secretary and one of the most important architects of the New Deal, Roosevelt himself privately acknowledged that what we were doing in this country were some of the things that were being done in Russia, and even some of the things that were being done under Hitler in Germany. But we were doing them in an orderly way. It's hard to see how orderliness absolves a policy from the charge of fascism or totalitarianism. Eventually, the similarities had become so transparent that Ickes had to warn Roosevelt that the public was increasingly inclined to unconsciously group four names: Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, and Roosevelt. The notion that FDR harbored fascist tendencies is vastly more controversial today than it was in the 1930s, primarily because fascism has come to mean Nazism, and Nazism means simply evil. Saying, for example, that FDR had a Hitlerite fiscal policy just confuses people. But the fascist flavor of the New Deal was not only regularly discussed, it was often cited as evidence in Roosevelt's favor. There was an enormous bipartisan consensus that the Depression required dictatorial and fascistic policies to defeat it. Walter Lippmann, serving as an ambassador for America's liberal elite, told FDR in a private meeting at Warm Springs, "The situation is critical, Franklin. You may have no alternative but to assume dictatorial powers." Eleanor Roosevelt, too, believed that a benevolent dictator might be the only answer for America. And it was hardly lost on the liberal intellectuals swirling around the Roosevelt administration that the enormously popular Benito Mussolini had used the same methods to whip the unruly Italians into shape. After all, the New Republic, the intellectual home of the New Deal, had covered the goings-on in Italy with fascination and often admiration. Indeed, the New Deal was conceived at the climax of a worldwide fascist moment, a moment when socialists in many countries were increasingly becoming nationalists, and nationalists could embrace nothing other than socialism. Franklin Roosevelt was no fascist, at least not in the sense that he thought of himself in this way. But many of his ideas and policies were indistinguishable from fascism. And today we live with the fruits of fascism, and we call them liberal. From economic policy to populist politics to a faith in the abiding power of brain trusts to chart our collective future, be they at Harvard or on the Supreme Court, fascistic assumptions about the role of the state have been encoded upon the American mind, often as a matter of bipartisan consensus.